Yes, welcome back to the official Isuzu U A-League podcast. Back for another season to dissect everything week to week in the A-League, men. And we've got off to a fantastic start over the weekend. And there's a lot to tuck into. David Wiener with you to do just that. And just like we had for the preview podcast, the band is back together. Tom Smithy's in the studio with me here in Sydney. Dave Davidovic on the line from Melbourne. Gents, what a fantastic weekend. I really enjoyed having the league back. It was just great viewing end to end from Friday through the late on Sunday here in Sydney with the Perth game against the Jets and the late equaliser. Tom, how did you enjoy having your A-League men back?
It's given us something to talk about. I'm worried that we were running out of conversation in the world's longest preseason. And goals, saves, lots of saves, moments of controversy, all the stuff you're meant to talk about around football, it's back.
It's back. It well and truly is back. Dave, what about you?
Yeah, I thought it was a fantastic first round. An understated build-up, one could say. However, once the games were back, I think there was plenty to unpack. There was some top performances from some of the Visa players, and particularly the new signings. There were some ripping performances from the younger brigade, as predicted last week, if I heard correctly. And, yeah, there was action, drama, some decent crowds as well, good atmosphere. It had it all. And, yeah, some great double headers as well, which I think is something that they're just talking off air. Dave, is, you know, I think that the double headers certainly take on a whole new meaning and complexion this season off the back of the Women's World Cup.
If Dave was listening correctly, that means he was listening to himself, because I'm pretty sure he's alluded to the fact that he might have predicted that last week. So we're off to a good start, just reminding everyone to – we won't be rewinding the tape on that one. For those who
– Tom Skiddies wasn't going to give me a plug, so maybe you have to give yourself a pat on the back occasionally.
I'll be here for you, don't worry. Adelaide United 3, Central Coast 0, Melbourne City 1, Western United 2, MacArthur 1, Brisbane Roar 1, Sydney FC 0, Melbourne Victory 2, Western Sydney 0, Wellington 0, Perth Glory 2, Newcastle Jets 2. We will touch on all those games over the course of the next half hour or so. But Tom, to get us started, the first round, if you can finish this sentence for me. Well, now that we are talking again, we've got plenty to talk about. You can start finishing. We can finish each other's sentences off. The first round of the Isuzu Ute A-League men was...
intriguing. There were storylines we didn't see coming. There were some we did. But there's some real interest to say this is already... games looking competitive, teams looking competitive. Some well-established stars did their thing, but some unexpected faces caught the eye, enough to make you go, okay, there's plenty to think about here.
In the preseason predictions, Dave, Channel 10 or Paramount Plus's Daniel McBreen, his tip for the championship winner was, who knows? And I chuckled at the first, when I received that. I thought, well, that's sitting on the fence. And then actually when I thought about it, I said, I actually don't have a clue who is going to win this championship. And I think the first weekend probably reaffirmed that, in that every game was pretty competitive. Central Coast obviously had hardship, we'll get to in a moment, which exacerbated that performance. But end to end, every game was interesting.
It was. If you wanted a word from me, I know Tom Smithies loves a bit of French, so magnifique. Is that French, Tom?
Yeah. It's not Croatian, magnifique. Put it that way, Dave.
I thought it was a great first round. Our dear producer, Ben, has sent through the ladder from round one, but to be honest, it is completely irrelevant this early in the season. But, I mean, I sat on the fence, you know, last week when we spoke, and yeah, it is a really tough, you know, a tough season to tip. So I'm glad I've got some company in Daniel McBreen, who was fantastic on the telecast over the weekend. But yeah, there's still such a long way to go. I mean, so, you know, it is a long preseason, but everyone, you know, is at different stages. There's new ownership, there's, you know, new players coming in. I mean, there's still, you know, players on the sidelines who haven't debuted, attending the Western United at a Melbourne City game at the weekend. You see, you know, the likes of Nikita Rukavica sitting in the stands, you know, a player of serious pedigree to come back into the team. And you know, that's the case across the board. So there is still a lot to play out this season, but really good early signs.
Certainly were. One of my highlights of the weekend came right at the death. It was really nice to see, because we're going to talk about through the next 30 minutes and then week after week, we're going to be talking a lot about the kids because that's a theme we're all really looking forward to. I just before Dave, but it is going to be a key theme this season. But one of the ones I enjoyed seeing through the weekend was Stefan Kolakowski. It was really nice to see him not only come into the action, score a key goal. Obviously, it didn't end up being the winning goal. But in a league where we pride ourselves so much on seeing young kids coming through, it was really disappointing to see a talent move from Melbourne City to Perth Glory and then disappear off our radars. So wonderful to see him come back in, see the relief on his face, the happiness off his face. And I thought that was a really lovely story for the weekend. And that was one of my highlights, to be honest, because one of the players I enjoyed watching a couple of years back, and it was great to see a little bit of a redemption story happen in our league. If you had to pick a moment, gents each, what was your favourite?
Well, I tempted to go for a goalkeeping save because there were some phenomenal goalkeeping performances, but I almost don't want to pick one out because they were so good. So I'm going to go for a pass instead. The pass from Daniel Pena to Lockie Wales to totally destroy the Melbourne City defence just showed that Daniel Pena is back. He was wonderful for Newcastle 2 years ago. Was such a pin-up for the league. You tune in to watch him alone. And if he gets anywhere near those heights, then people will be doing exactly that to watch Western United. The portents were wonderful from that. The way he went looking for the ball, I want to make an impact on this game. Got the ball, one simple pass, bang, two. It's a goal for Melbourne City, for Western United even.
You tune into games to watch a player just like Daniel Pena.
He was fantastic. And absolutely agree with your point about Stefan Kolakowski. I mean, he barely played last season. That was one of the real question marks around Perth Glory last season. I mean, they did have a deep squad, but he's a very good player and a very good impact player. And good to see that cheeky smile back on his face, a bit of a disco celebration as well. But for me, the highlight of the weekend was Zinedine Mishasha's goal. A bit of individual brilliance there, and there was skill, but there was also brute strength. I mean, there was shades of Jonah Lomu in how he just mowed down the Sydney FC opposition. And to be honest, a lot of players, I think, would have gone down in that situation, but he obviously showed his strength. He showed his, composure, and he just kept going. And that was a fantastic goal and a fantastic finish. A lot of people would have been, they would have been out of energy by the time they got to the goals, but a fantastic left-footed strike, and I think he's still got a long way to go because he's had an interrupted preseason. But, that was an outstanding individual goal.
We'll touch on that a little bit more when we speak about the Big Blue. But before we do, what size shin pads does he wear? What size shin pads do you have to wear to get them hiding in rolled-up socks? I reckon my six-year-old's got bigger shin pads than he wears. Did you guys notice that?
I can't say that I did.
I didn't think he was wearing shin pads. That was, I did notice that. I don't know if that's one for VAR or what.
That's one to ask our operations department when we leave here. Was he wearing shin pads? And if he did, what size and what is the legal minimum? You can get to really getting into nerdy areas there. But it did add to the Jonah Lomu or the rugby league kind of themes that were being thrown around in reaction as soon as he had charged through and bulldozed through the Sydney FC defence. Right, let's go back to Friday night, Tom. Adelaide United 3, Central Coast Mariners 2.
Now Halloran to Gowland, and that's in shortly. There's no Craig Goodwin, but it's another experienced campaigner.
Where should we begin here? Because it was a really encouraging performance by Carl Viet's side, but you almost can't begin discussion here without the caveat of Alu Kwol, Brian Kaltak, and of course Jacob Farrell's red card. Such, if you were to name probably five players out of the Mariners that they cannot afford to lose, I dare say they'd be very close to being three of the five.
Yeah, and you can throw into that as well the early save that Joe Gauchy made to keep Adelaide in the game. If that goes in, then that's maybe a completely different scoreline. And I think, the other thing to note as well in this is we talked a lot about Adelaide being an incredibly young team, and they do have all this incredible talent. But actually, the 11 that Carl Viet put out without Craig Goodwin, the sort of team that everyone was getting worried about, was actually full of experience and a really fine team in the sense of players who've proved it time and time again. People like Ben Haller and Zach Clough, it's right across the team. And in the end, They were too good for the Mariners in the sense that they took their chances. But you have to feel very sorry for the Mariners for the injury, not for the sending off. That was daft. Mm. You know, you get a yellow card, you've got to be more careful than that. It's interesting, though, because I wonder how quickly the optimism at the Mariners will be punctured with Nick Montgomery gone, a new coach who remains an interim coach in charge. Lots of new faces. They need to bounce back from this quickly.
They'll get the chance to on Thursday night against Bali United in the AFC Cup. But immediate questions straight away, Dave. Immediate questions straight away, thanks to those injuries. What did you make of the night out where, to reinforce your point, Tom, Ben Haller and Zach Clough and Nick Ansell were the three goal scorers? So very much experience coming to the fore in match-winning sense there.
Yeah, to Tom's point, I think they've got their age profile absolutely spot on that a lot of kids come off the bench. But, you know, when you talk about average age, for me, that's, you know, when you look at it from a, I guess, a player development viewpoint, average age is almost irrelevant. You can have an average age squad of 24 and or 25 and, you know, they're all sort of around that mark, or you can have another team that, you know, is around the same age, but they've got five or six 30, 31, 32-year-olds and, you know, five or six 17, 18, 19-year-olds. And I think they're the latter, Adelaide United. So they've got a really good combination of old and young. And you look at, you know, Yule and Iran Kunda, Panache in that first 11, then obviously coming off the bench, Giselle, Bernardo. And the younger Toure, Moussa Toure, who's obviously following in the footsteps of his elder brothers. So they've got a really, really good balance and a good core of those older players. They probably can't afford too many injuries with, you know, the older guys. But, yeah, I think they were looking really, really good, and it was a fantastic start for them, particularly, as you mentioned, with Craig Goodwin leaving on the eve of the season.
That word balance is really interesting, because I think Craig Goodwin's departure and someone of his class probably tipped the conversation about Adelaide a particular way. And there's obviously, it's only first impressions and there's a long way to go. But I expect someone like Ben Halloran to be in those areas and doing that kind of thing. He's a guy that's been in World Cup squads, been in Socceroos squads, and he's got a chance now to step up in that regard. And the balance there of, they might have had three teenagers, but you can do that when you got that core that Tom alluded to before. So Carl Viet, hopefully for Adelaide United fans' sake, might be onto something. Nestori Iran Kunda is obviously one of those three teenagers, Tom. There was one moment in the first half, I think, against Central Coast where he chip and chased or kicked and run like it was the under sixes and went off like the roadrunner and did it fully in his stride. He looks, as Carl Viet alluded to before the game, a step up physically this year. He speaks with real focus after the game. You can tell he's trying to really keep a lid on what he's saying. I like what I saw in one round from Nestori Iran Kunda, that he can build into this season without getting derailed by the hype.
This is the flip side to the departure of Craig Goodwin, that it maybe has forced the issue as to whether Iran Kunda's ready in to start, and Carl Viet's decided that he is because he needs to fill a hole in that sense in his starting 11. That move of which you spoke was interesting, because I reckon if you worked it out, he actually ran 50% more than the fullback did, simply because he went round him. And it was his extraordinary ability to, his explosive pace is off the charts.
Yeah.
Let alone the way he hits the ball. Interesting though, that he found the game at times, he ran into a few cul-de-sacs. Yep. And I think generally speaking, Mariners handled him quite well. He's one of the things he has to learn is how to play to a game plan instead of running out a tiring defence as a substitute, which is what he's been in his entirety so far. And that's something I imagine he'll pick up pretty quickly. And it's going to teach him all sorts of new things about how to stay involved in a game over 90 minutes, but how to play to other players' strengths, how to play off other players, and how to be part of a bigger picture.
I'm looking forward to watching that journey play out in front of us. Just to wrap up, what we'll do, gents, at the end of each of these games is just get a first impression from you each about these sides, about Mariners or Adelaide, whichever one you fancy. I'm just going to start off with Central Coast, because I'm going to take the words from Danny Vukovic after the game, who was clearly disappointed despite making a raft of terrific saves. When you speak about the quality of the goalkeeping, Tom, he was up there by keeping the scoreline respectable. We mentioned it in our preview podcast, Dave, in terms of first impressions. The Mariners squad looked like it would take some time to bed in because of all the losses in the front third. And the skipper said himself after the game they lacked creativity. And I think losing Quoll is going to be a blow to that as well. But it's clear that the journey to replace all those players from the front third that are gone is something that it's going to take a little while for the Mariners. And that's what I took out of this game from a first impression, is it's not going to be an easy ride in defending their championship.
No, that's right. And I think there were six changes from the starting lineup from last year's winning grand final side. Another one, if you include the coach, and as we've discussed, he's probably the biggest of the lot. So, look, there's definitely concerns there for the Mariners, but you do have to give them time. It is a long season, and you have to give them and the new gaffer, interim gaffer, time to settle in. But thankfully, it appears that they are not serious injuries to the aforementioned two. So, you know, I think Alu Quali is another one who hasn't played a lot of football, over the course of the last few years, certainly since he left the Mariners. So I don't think we'll see anywhere near the best of him until that sort of second half, even the final third of the season. So as long as they can stay within touch of the top six, I think they're the team type of team that can, you know, potentially come home strong.
Yeah, I couldn't disagree more as usual with you, David. I can see them struggling. I have to be honest. I think they are going to. There's so much for them to, has to go right for them to have a good season. There's so much got to click quickly, and if that doesn't happen, we've seen in the A-League so often. You know, they've had three good years at the Mariners, but they had a lot of bad years before that. It's almost like the ghosts may still be stalking the corridors. I would love to be wrong, but then I think they need a lot to go right for them fairly quickly to get that momentum going and remove these questions, which are legitimate ones.
And on Adelaide as well, the clean sheet today. I still think they can be a lot of fun to watch. I think if the Mariners could have put away some chances, I think there were some there for them as well. So Adelaide still might have some themes repeating from last season in terms of you know, having to score more than you do to try and win these games.
Big moment here for the Roar. O'Shea. It does go indirect. Jay O'Shea has the inspiration for a Brisbane equaliser.
Saturday afternoon, MacArthur against Brisbane was a 1-1 draw. Rafael Borges Rodriguez with the opener before Jay O'Shea's free kick equalised things there at Campbelltown. Kieran Backus will still be wondering how he didn't score in the opening moments of the game, but he did not. Mile Sturjovski thought that should have been a goal, Tom, but it was ruled out. But I thought this was a watchable game. Some good signs from both teams, and probably a lot that we can take from here that I think will become repetitive themes out of both teams.
Battle of the goalkeepers for me. Some amazing saves from Macklin Freak and from Philip Curto. I thought they were the reason why it ended 1-1. Couple of interesting and clever goals, like a really, really lovely bit of movement from Borges Rodriguez just before he. I mean, that was a move that sort of MacArthur were pressing and pressing, and they. One or two sort of forays into the penalty area, but his movement to create that space at the far post was really encouraging. And then really clever free kick from Jay O'Shea at, you know, I don't know whether it's something they've rehearsed, but the whole thing of putting it into the line of the sunlight, leaving poor Curto, you know, completely helpless. I mean, it looked embarrassing for him, but it wasn't in the slightest. It was just really cleverly done.
Yeah, Brisbane will most certainly be happier with that point. They've had a fantastic start or fantastic off-season with their Australia Cup run, picking up that point away from home, particularly after going 1-0 down. They will walk away the happier of the two sides. And I love seeing the A-League debut of Jonas Markovski, the son of the great John Markovski, who had a bit to do with at the end of last season, handing over the trophy to Jamie McLaren or Memento as the new record A-League's goal scorer. Jonas has been on fire in the local Victorian NPL competition, so I'll be interested to see how he comes on with this growing number of father-son players. But look, still a bit to like about MacArthur's performance. Good to see Davila starting for them, but yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how these two teams go. I'm particularly interested to see how MacArthur goes, because they really want to be competing for finals this year, but they also want to be picking up points at home.
They also have a trip to Cambodia this week, just to add a bit of intrigue to their schedule too, to Phnom Penh in Cambodia. So that's a late night for them coming back ahead of the weekend. So a bit to juggle there for Mile Sturjovski. Jay O'Shea with the equaliser, we mentioned him last week and bigged up his chances of success this season. Once again, it was no surprise to see he was pretty instrumental in a lot of things that happened for Ross Aloisi's side, missing Thomas Waddington, who was only just back from international duty with the Australian youth teams. And I thought there you could see that they are going to be a very pleasant team to watch. But they're, in terms of combinations in the final third and that clinical edge, yes, there was great goalkeeping, but you can certainly see how important that youngster is going to be to Ross Aloisi's plans.
Well, they don't have another striker, really. Not a proper out-and-out number nine. There's a lot of weight on his shoulders. And people like Florian Beringer and O'Shea are going to be really important in how what they build around him. But ultimately, there's expectation that you know, a teenager is going to score their goals for them.
In terms of recruitment as well, just on MacArthur, Dave, Clayton Lewis was obviously instrumental as well in stages. As lovely a set-piece delivery as anyone we've got in the league, and that looks like that will be a bit of a string to their bow as well over at MacArthur.
Yeah, for sure. Very, very good signing for them. I didn't catch the entire game as I was en route to the Melbourne City Western United match. But yeah, certainly from the highlights, plenty to like about him. So, yeah, huge loss for Wellington, obviously, but a win for MacArthur.
First impressions then of these two sides, Tom, to you first. First impressions of MacArthur or Brisbane?
For MacArthur, there was plenty to like. They moved the ball, as they should, with such skillful players. They moved the ball nicely. Whether we're seeing a more identifiable identity, it's probably too early to say in terms of Stojowski's coaching, really moving that team on from what he inherited last season. Brisbane, I think, let's be honest, both sides struggled in the heat. Mm. So there was not a huge tempo at times to the game, and they like to play up tempo. They like to get on the front foot and take the game to the opposition. I think we might see a bit more of that on Friday night when they are at home to Sydney FC.
I think in the heat, they showed that that's what we will see in better conditions. I think we saw enough of that there. What did you make, Dave?
Both are work in progress. Both should be knocking on the door of the top six. They, you know, each be disappointed if they weren't. But yeah, still again too early to call.
Noah Bottich steps up and scores. Perfectly placed. And Western United are back in front.
Melbourne City, Western United. Melbourne City 1, Western United 2. A bit to unpack from this game. Lockie Wales with a terrific opening goal. Toge Arslan showing us why he is a prized addition to the league with his equaliser. And then the youngster, Noah Bottich, stepping up with a late penalty, getting praise from his coach, John Aloisi, for having the temperament to step up and take that clutch moment. Good signs for John Aloisi. Probably for Melbourne City, Tom, a few of the signs we thought we wouldn't mind seeing some answers for when we did their season preview last week.
Well, we said, where's the creativity going to come from? Now, the short answer is Tolgay Arslan. I'm going to let Dave go off on a long run of praise for him because having watched it from the stands. But beyond that, you are concerned that with Lekki still injured, Naboo out for the season, we've gone through this so many times, the players they've lost, that Jamie McLaren can't create most of those chances by himself. And I was also, I thought they were a couple of times opened up in ways that were a little surprising for Melbourne City, that maybe the structure's not as solid as it has been in the past. But, you know, Western United got a lot to take out of that game. They look like they're a more up-tempo team. They look like more of a spark than last season when they had such an old-age profile. Mm-hmm. And much as I loved the through ball from Daniel Peña, Lockie Wales still had a fair bit to do and did it extremely well. And he's such a likeable kid. I'd really like to see him have a big season.
No home losses last season, Dave. One off the bat this season. You were there. What did you make of the game?
It was a great game. Great atmosphere at Amy Park or Melbourne Rectangular Stadium, if you're talking to FIFA chiefs. But it was great. It was end-to-end. There were goals, a bit of drama. We saw probably a lot of it off camera. John Aloisi getting pretty chirpy with Tolgay Arslan. I thought Arslan was going to head over to the bench at one stage, but
I didn't see that on camera. Did you say that wasn't on the television screens?
Yeah, I think it was a bit of it was off the ball. So yeah, there was a bit of verbal between them. They were going at each other for a good 3 or 4 minutes. So I think JA just using his experience to try and get under Arslan's skin clearly didn't work because he did score, but. Look, in the end, huge win for Western United. You know, I mean, they are used to the venue. They have played a lot of home games there. They won the grand final there a couple of seasons ago, but they won't be playing a lot of home games there this season, if any. So a lot of good signs, to Tom's point about the younger players. So pretty apt that Noah Bottich steps up to score that winning penalty at the end. John Aloisi referenced that when he first signed him, he refused to take a penalty in an NPL game because someone else was the penalty taker, and John had a word to him and said, if you want to score goals, you need to put your hand up and step up, and Bottich did that and scored in, the 87th minute, and, then sort of showed some experience and gamesmanship beyond his years, where he sort of went down with cramp after scoring the goal, after running off and celebrating wildly. But, you know, he's a really interesting one from an Australian football and a soccer's viewpoint, because I really like him. He's just a really natural goal scorer, a natural finisher. He's got fantastic movement, and clearly with Prijević leaving, he will get a lot of minutes this season. So a massive tick for him, and certainly one of the the best stories of the young brigade this season. But you mentioned Tolgay Arslan. I mean, he's individual quality for that goal, the footwork was immense. And, you know, when we talk about the Visa players, I'm really excited to see some of these, you know, top-end Visa players mentioned, Zinedine or Zizou Mashash with Melbourne Victory and Tolgoi Aslan. I think these two have got the potential to absolutely take the league by storm. And, you know, when you talk of the likes of Broich, Castro, Ninkovic, guys who came here with maybe lesser profiles, but, you know, finished up as some of the A-League greats and superstars in their own right, I think we could have another two.
Interesting. He was involved with Jamie McLaren in that superb run for that goal. McLaren had a disallowed goal himself, did look sharp, but said after the game as well on Paramount Plus that it's going to take time, that they need time to teeth in. It's virtually a new team. Clearly, Aslan's going to be important, missing Lecky for a couple more weeks. What are the things that you're looking for, Tom, that we need to see embedded in from Melbourne City? Because, agree, it looked like it through the course of the game, it wasn't an utter surprise to see Western go ahead.
No, I think that the most important thing for them is to stay in touch, is not to drop away, because they will get players back. They will get Lecky back, who's going to be hugely important for them. And I think they need to prove quickly that bedding in is happening, because the result in the grand final clearly shocked everybody at the club. It shocked Rado Vidicic. And now this is the big test for Rado, to show that with all these players leaving, the ones he's promoted, the ones he's signed, this team that he's built is capable of re-ascending those same heights that Patrick Gisnorbo had driven his team to, literally driven them to. And we need to see enough results, enough positive results, while that bedding in is happening. And when the cavalry returns, then you think later in the season they'll get stronger and stronger.
We mentioned goalkeeping earlier. Hewitt Bell's save, out of this world for Western United. Another smart recruit from John Aloisi, sort of a second-choice keeper, as it were, looking for a chance to show his wares as a first-team stopper across the league. Jamie Young will probably be, you know, he would have loved to have won that game against his old club, but not to be. Your first impression or biggest takeaway from this game for either of these two sides, Dave?
I think they'll both be thereabouts this season. I think City has got an extraordinary team on paper, still a few players to come back. But from everything I saw the other night, I think these two teams play finals and they have the potential to give it a real shake. Again, we talk about, a bang on about that, you know, the balance in terms of, you know, age and older, younger. I think they've both got it. Melbourne City have got a lot of players to come into the side. I think we're going to see a lot of younger players making their debuts. But, another one that I really liked was the Leo Natel, the Brazilian who came off the bench. Looks really raw, lots of skill. He's had an interrupted preseason, so I think they've just got so much depth and so many different options that, you know, if plan A or even plan B is not working for them, they'll be able to, you know, make the relevant changes. So, I think keep an eye on these two teams. They'll be thereabouts.
Zinedine Mashash looking to make the point. Save! He surely has done! A goal on debut! Zizou has arrived in Australia.
What about Sydney FC and Melbourne Victory? You were at Allianz on Saturday night for aleagues.com.au covering this game. Bruno Fornaroli with the finish on 62 minutes. Bruno Fornaroli, who will be the star of A-League's All Access this Thursday evening on the A-League's and Keep Up Network. And then, as you mentioned earlier, Dave, Zizou, the league's new Zizou, first ever Zizou, scoring the 86th minute, that bulldozing, rollicking run. Women Victory, very good, or Sydney FC, not so good? What was your verdict?
I don't agree with either of those statements.
Excellent.
I thought, starting with Melbourne,
you're in a very combative mood, Tom.
Yeah, well, it's getting off, you know. We want to start the season as we mean to go on. Melbourne Victory were classic Popovic. They were good. They were good enough. They were fit enough for the first round, with the promise of so much more to come. They will get fitter, and that's how his teams always are. They build through the season. But intriguingly, they were able to bring on Chris Economides for half an hour. Mm-hmm. They were able to bring on Jake Brimmer, admittedly in the 90th minute, but they've both been out for weeks, and now they're suddenly back in the verge of selection, and they're big, big players to come in. And yet they still were able to come and reasonably comfortably come away with a 2-0 win away at one of their biggest rivals. The big takeaway from Melbourne Victory's point of view, I thought, was that they've got some real energy up front, and that's without Brimmer and Economides to come back. They've got You know, they had a good defensive structure with all the things you associate with Popovic, and he's managed to reinstill some of that solidity, albeit on the basis of one game that really was missing for a lot of last season. Sydney, I thought, was a real curate's egg of a performance. I thought they actually tried to take the game to victory in a way that we've criticised them for not doing in the past. They tried to make things happen, tried to force the issue. That there were a couple of lovely moments of skill. There was a turn from Robbie Mack. Joe Lolley was terrific throughout. He kept trying things and kept trying things. But they didn't actually create very much. And that's the concern, that when they've got a relatively new a couple of players to bring into that they're bringing into the team, that they it looked like they still haven't quite worked through the patterns of play and the sort of lines of communication. But I thought that ultimately maybe Sydney deserved a point out of the game for the way they tried to take the game to victory, but I'm not sure they created enough to say we should have won.
Mm. Yeah, Sydney FC will be absolutely kicking themselves at the mistake that led to Fornaroli's opener. I mean, Luke Bratton, a player of that experience, maybe Redmond shouldn't have thrown the ball to him, but you know, either way, I think both players have put their hand up and say that we that shouldn't be happening for a team of this quality. I think Sydney FC certainly some really good signs for them, and again, a lot of improvement left considering the turnover in that squad. For Melbourne Victory, I mean, yeah, Mashash and Fornaroli scoring the goals, a lot to like about their performances. But, you know, Nishan Volupele, I thought, was very good and interesting that he started ahead of the likes of Economidis and Falami. And I think it tells you a bit about what Tony Popovic and the coaching staff think about him. I think he's got a lot of upside this season, Nishan. And Daniel Arzani on the other wing, I think we just saw a glimpse of what to expect, but he will get better and better as the season wears on. But to your earlier point, Tom, about the bench, that's as strong a bench as I've seen at Melbourne Victory, certainly in over a year, probably a year and a half, and that will probably be the difference, because last year when they were, you know, needing goals, chasing games, they looked to the bench and a lot of times there were just younger players there and they came on, they did okay. But when you have the caliber of Economidis, Falami, Jake Brimmer coming on, they can turn the game in an instant. So I think this Melbourne Victory, you look at that back four, that's as good a back four as any in the A-League. I think they've got the ingredients to really give it a shake this season.
I think you're being a bit harsh on Luke Bratton there. He was not the only player to slip in that second half. They put the sprinklers on a lot at halftime. And unless he was wearing trainers, I think you're being a little bit harsh on him for the tumble. And in fact, harsh on Redmayne. There's no reason not to give the ball to Bratton in that situation. Maybe he shouldn't have turned. Maybe he should have laid the ball off. But I just think you're being a bit harsh there, Dave.
So it's a sprinkler's fault.
Yeah.
Were you saying that Bratton was wearing trainers?
No, I said unless he was wearing trainers.
So to the official Isuzu A-League podcast for in-depth analysis on the curation of the pitches. By the way, on that though, if you talk about Victory and how they've come out in a classic Popovic style and also very prepared, yes, unlucky slipped. Did you see the angle that showed how he was swarmed? And if you look at it from an aerial point of view, I think it was almost like a diamond around him in terms of Victory shirts. There wasn't actually an outlet for him to pass to. So even in that emergency scenario, if he had tried to look back, if he tried to look sideways or tried to just hack it away, he was actually swarmed in that instance, which showed to me a Victory side that was in cohesion. And had they not found that moment of brilliant finishing from Bruno, still would have been at a clean sheet or very close to a clean sheet. So I thought that was very positive for Victory on one hand. And, we'll talk plenty about Volupele and Arzani through the year. And I think without going down that road now, I think what's really important is the names you mentioned, Tom, Brimmer, Economidis. You could argue if those two were still injured, not fit yet, not in the squad, the pressure or the talking points around Volupele and Arzani and the need for them to bring more goals quickly to the game would probably be increased. But he has options. So those two can build their way into the season, and everyone is saying, Popovic himself is saying, is give Arzani time to grow. So I think that's a really positive thing for them as well. Final impressions from this game. Went hard there, Dave, on the prospects of Melbourne City and Western. Are you equally as bullish about what you saw out of these two teams?
Yeah, I think they both played finals on the evidence of Saturday night. The Sydney FC were there last season. Victory were nowhere near it, but you can just see them really bouncing back. I mean, there were a lot of off-field challenges last year, clearly, without going into too much depth, but I think they've, you know, regenerated the squad, and I think they'll be right up there this season, Melbourne Victory. And great to see the crowd there, and the atmosphere was great. So, you know, Sydney FC and Melbourne Victory at their best. It's a clash that, you know, everyone wants to see.
Sydney need to get the supply lines to their new Brazilian striker, Mario Gomes, going, Fabio Gomes even, going as quickly as possible, because Corica talks about his aerial ability, good on the ground as well, apparently, but they're looking at him to score a certain kind of goal, and they need to give him the ball to be able to do that.
Yeah, time will tell with that relationship. And if Lolly was just off very close to that supply happening, so you think on another day it might have looked a bit different for Sydney FC. Western Sydney 0, Wellington 0. This is the one we're going to talk about, gents, about the goalkeeping.
Here's Milanovic. Brilliant stop. For those of you that don't know, Alex Paulson, the young academy goalkeeper for Wellington Phoenix.
Alex Paulson, so great to see him back in the 11 after a couple of years playing deputy to Oli Sal. We remember him when he broke through as a teenager. I remember on A-League social accounts digging up a picture, Tom, of him as a kid with Glenn Moss. So he's been on this path for a while. We speak so glowingly about young Australian players. Great to see Wellington giving a local the chance there in New Zealand. And along with Lawrence Thomas, he's the narrative out of this game in terms of headline performances.
Absolutely. And the fact that that he was given the nod ahead of Jack Duncan. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be so easy to give Duncan the gloves on the basis that he's signed, that he's coming from outside, his experience, etc. But to give a 21-year-old a go in goal, who has had, you know, we know that he's not, how little first team experience he has, produced some outstanding saves,
unbelievable saves,
yeah, and stuff that is, it will just go so much about goalkeeping is confidence and just that feeling that you're unbeatable. And he by the end, he was walking 10 feet tall.
Mm. Yeah, agreed. I was super impressed with that. And, you know, Wellington will be absolutely delighted with a point away from home on debut. Italiano, obviously starting off his first full season after replacing Ufuk-Tello. So I'm really interested to see how Wellington goes. I was a little bit worried about them, speaking about them last season, but there were some good signs. Look, Western Sydney had the better of it. I thought they had the better chances, and their squad looks stronger on paper. But, they would obviously want to win those kinds of games at home. But, good solid signs for Wellington. They can only get better.
I think the only concern I'd have from the Wanderers' point of view is it was a little reminiscent of a lot of games last season where excellent approach play wasn't finished off. Mm. I still think that Marcus Anderson is going to score a lot of goals. You could see that header that was brilliantly saved by Paulson, and his movement is phenomenal. They just got to work out and get on the same wavelength as him. But that would be my only concern if I was Mark Rudin, that they didn't turn that domination into the goals on the scoreboard.
If we're having this conversation in a month or 3 weeks, still be worried. I think for first round, brilliant goalkeeping, really hot Sydney afternoon, bit of mitigating circumstances. Terrific performance day from Nicholas Milanovic. Talk about youngsters, 21 years old, literally first half, anywhere you looked, he was buzzing around. And that was a nice little addition to the game too. What did you make from the Wanderers' point of view? Because Marco Rudin said afterwards they were virtually unstoppable. Alex Paulson did stop them a couple of times, but I get what he was saying was they were very close. They were very, very close to showing their wares. Do you agree with these sentiments that if they click, they're on the right course?
Yeah, definitely. And I think Rudin would be generally happy with that, aside from the fact they didn't take away 3 points. Milanovic is a really interesting one. I did like his performance. A rare start from him for the Wanderers. He came back, I think, midway through last season. He was at Western United. Rudin signed him at Western United. He's a Western Sydney boy. And, he's got a fair few A-Leagues games under his belt. But I think with the benefit of a full preseason, he's a really interesting player, a left-footed, you know, midfielder who just has this ability to get himself in some really interesting situations. He's got positions. He's got goals in him. So I think he's got huge upside. So, some decent players on the bench as well for Western Sydney. They've got this fantastic production line coming through also. But, also great to see Josh Brillante starting his first game for the Wanderers. And, I think he'll be set for a really big season and certainly got a point to prove after you know, the way it ended at Victory.
Indeed. Before we get your first impression, Tom, to round out this game, actually one bit of interesting man management from Chiefy Italiano after the game. I loved his comments about the goalkeeping situation. We said, yeah, but it was touch and go. We picked Alex because of his ability with his feet. Still made great saves. If Jack Duncan was there, he would have made the saves too. Sort of bringing everyone into the 10, into his public comments, and also keeping the youngster on his toes too. So just a really interesting glimpse into his man management style through the media after the first game. Your first impressions to wrap up from these two teams?
I think they're both going to be very interesting to watch. There was this little snide comment from Mark Rudin afterwards that Wellington had played a bit of long ball.
I saw that.
There's nothing wrong with that when you're away from home, first game. And, you know, they still have some terrific players. Oscar Zawada, they got Cruyff, they got David Ball. They've still got some excellent players. And there's no reason why if that team, they've still got that DNA of that collective now that they had under Fucale. Mm. Italiano talks about developing that and taking them in a new direction, but you're not going to see that straight away. And I think you'll still see a lot of the old patterns of play that were there before. And clearly, Western Sydney already are, you know, they look like, particularly at home, they're going to really go for teams and play some good football, and it'll be great to watch.
There's a fantastic, if you want to know a little bit more about Italiano, there's a fantastic read on alex.com.au by Sasha Pisani. You get a real insight into his journey, not a former player as well. So one of the, there's still hope for all of us with our coaching ambitions, gents, if you look at Chiefy. But speaking about the fact that actually don't tip us to come last because we are continuing and we have that continuity from last year, and then he'll add his own touch to it as well. So, you know, it's no surprise that they started the in a solid fashion, if unspectacular.
And Sailor's not met it, and they have the equaliser, the Newcastle Jets. It's Apostolos Stamatolopoulos on debut.
We end off out west with Perth Glory 2, Newcastle Jets 2. Adam Taggart bundling the ball in after just 2 minutes. An unbelievable goal from Grozos 14 minutes later. We thought, as I alluded earlier, that Kolakowski might get the winner, but Apostolos Stamatolopoulos had other ideas laid on. Tom, I was surprised the Jets got a point from this game the way it was going. Another one full of goalkeeping saves. Perth probably wasteful. Good signs from Perth. Great resilience from the Jets to get a point.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. I think there's some really good signs with what Alan Stadic is trying to do at Perth, and I echo your sentiments about Kolakowski. So good to see him with a smile on his face from scoring that goal and from playing and from being a key part of it. But I guess the great thing for Rob Stanton will be that they went behind twice and they didn't fall away, and that right into injury time, and they find that equaliser. The best moment for me was definitely Costa Gross's goal. I mean, I'm amazed he's only 23, because people have been talking about him since he was in his young teens and never quite made the step up. There's always been a lot of promise there. To see him put his foot through the ball like that, great technique. I hope that sparks him to go on and achieve more.
That's got to be the hope, Dave, under Robbie Stanton, is that some of those players who you could call fringe players or players who've got to take the next step might succeed under a more mentoring style of play, a style of coach, I should say.
Yeah, I like what Stanton's about. I think really good signs, to Tom's point, coming back twice, especially that, you know, the late equaliser for the Jets, because Glory had some really good chances to, you know, to put that game to bed. But again, giving some younger players a go, I was really impressed with Clayton Taylor in midfield, who they signed from Sydney FC, and Lucas Morogas, who obviously returned from Wellington Phoenix and was really good at left back. So, some really positive signs for the Jets. For Perth Glory also, I think they're quite a work in progress, although, you know, there's a lot more, I guess, experience, and, you know, they've probably kept a lot more players from last season's squad. I think the two biggest positives for Glory were Adam Taggart and Daniel Benny. Taggart he scored a goal, and he looked really fit, really sharp, and really motivated, which I think is crucial for Perth Glory. If you can get Taggart firing and scoring goals, I mean, he's got the potential to be the Isuzu A-League golden boot winner and potentially get back into the Socceroos frame. And as for Daniel Benny, 17-year-old, I mean, he's had an extraordinary few months scoring, you know, for the Joeys, and, you know, scoring against West Ham. And he started and did really, really well. Got himself in some good positions, played a really important role in that opening goal for Adam Taggart, and he's obviously only going to get better and better as the season wears on. So, yeah, really interesting game, this one. And, yeah, not sure how these two teams are going to go this season, but really, really intriguing for both of them.
And very positive for both. They come away with a point from the opening game. Benny, you've mentioned a kid in every game. Fantastic. And I look forward to tracking that through the season on aleagues.com.au and in the official Associate A-League podcast. Tom, your final thoughts from this game?
Well, I noticed the word, Dave just stole my word, intriguing, which I began the podcast with, and I still think it was a round of, there's so many storylines to sit back and watch unfold, that there's enough new faces across the league. This is when you, every season we sort of go, who are going to be the heroes? Is it going to be the established players? There's a whole bunch of new faces that we've got, some youngsters, some foreign players who've come in. And you think, I'm really going to enjoy watching how this unfolds.
A great mix. We've spoken about Daniel Peña coming back and looking like he never left. We're talking about Arslan, a new star to inspire us all. Zizou at Melbourne Victory. The Daniel Azani, you know, watch is going to continue in earnest. And then the kids that we've mentioned. So some really good signs, some great crowds, some great football, some terrific goals. Don't forget to vote for your goal of the week on the A-League social accounts, because week in, week out, as has always been the case, of course, there are great moments across our league. Gents, thanks for your time today. Dave, thanks for joining us from Melbourne. Anything else to add before we let you go?
No, just got me thinking, Daniel Benny, he's an absolute dead ringer for Daniel Stein, so completely irrelevant in the context of who's going to finish where this season, but he even caught commentator Phil Moss on the hop, so I just thought I'd throw that one in there. But a thoroughly enjoyable opening round.
Dave Davutovic admitting to being irrelevant. Brilliant.
Jeez, I'm glad I threw for
we'll
that
keep
one
an eye
last
on those sprinklers. We'll keep an eye on those sprinklers for you, Tom.
I'll turn the sprinklers on in the office. Tom, thanks for your time. We'll look forward to your insights on the show throughout the season and, of course, on aleagues.com.au. So you've got your official Associate A-League podcast every Monday. Of course, the Dub Zone podcast as well. If you didn't get to catch the show at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Sunday on 10 Player on the Keep Up YouTube account, you can listen to it on the way to work on Monday. Thursday, we'll be looking ahead on this very feed to the weekend's action with the A-League's Fantasy Show, with all the aleagues.com.au and Keep Up journos going through their highs and lows for the weekend. We have so much for you to enjoy across our digital and social network, so stay tuned and it will get you in the mood for the next round of the Isuzu Ute A-League, of course. Brisbane Roar against Sydney FC at Suncorp Stadium on Friday night. Saturday, doubleheader is Wellington Phoenix versus Perth Glory at Sky Stadium. That's a 3:30 start p.m. in Australia, Eastern Daylight Time. Western City Sydney against Western United at Combank Stadium on Saturday night, the main game on 10 Bold. Sunday, three games, Central Coast versus Macarthur, Melbourne Victory versus Newcastle Jets, Adelaide United versus Melbourne City, 3, 5 and 7 p.m. respectively. Don't forget before that as well, AFC Cup and AFC Champions League action on your screens on 10 Play, and of course all the highlights on the Keep Up and A-League's network, which in short means a truckload of football to enjoy domestically over the next few days until the next episode of the official Associate A-League podcast. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football.